Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 40. I am recording this episode on January 2nd, 2017, and could not be more excited about the year ahead of us. So I'm glad you're with me. If there are topics that you're interested in hearing about this year, send me an email at jamie@everythingcoworking.com. And if you're interested in shared workspace, since you're probably doing your planning for the year, make sure to mark your calendars for the Global Workspace Association's annual conference in Miami, Florida, September 11th through the 13th. Or better yet, mark it for the 9th through the 13th so you can spend the weekend at the gorgeous One Hotel South Beach where the conference will be hosted. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level or starting a shared workspace this year, the Global Workspace Association is kicking off a series of flight groups throughout 2017. A flight group is a small group facilitated by an expert designed to help your business take off. So if you want to get first dibs on participating, text the word flight, F-L-I-G-H-T, to 4222, and then enter your email address when prompted. The first flight group is for operators looking for step-by-step guidance from lease negotiation through their first year of business. And each month, we'll integrate experts who will help you tackle a number of topics to help you successfully launch your space. Space in these groups will be limited, so if you're interested, make sure you send that text. Text the word F-L-I-G-H-T, flight, to 4222, and you will be first to get an email with all the details and the opportunity to get into the first group. So since it's January, we're going to highlight some co-working predictions for 2017. So I can only share high level here. I wrote this article for Work Design magazine, and you've probably heard me talk about this before, and if you haven't, be sure to check it out. It's a really, really well done publication, all about work design. It's not necessarily just shared space, but it focuses on modern workspace. So a lot of collaborative workspace designs, even if it's in a corporate setting, expert insights. They have some really interesting case studies, and they have a premium content subscription for people who are interested in articles written by experts that are produced a couple times a month. So I write for that subscription service, and so that's behind a membership wall. So I can't read the entire article to you, but I'm going to give you some teasers and encourage you to go check it out. If you're not a subscriber, it's only $3.99. And if you want to read the article, you go to workdesign.com, and in their search bar in the upper right, just search for co-working predictions. But I'll share a couple of teasers with you to get us started in the new year. So my first prediction is that developers will be looking for operator partners to build vibrancy into their buildings. I attended a conference called NAOP, they call it OfficeCon in LA in November, and it was really interesting, the conversation going on. The conference was a lot of asset owners, so people who own buildings, who don't necessarily want to get into the co-working business on their own, but see flexible space or serviced office or co-working, whatever you kind of want to put a name, however you want to put a name to it or design it, as being an important element of the mix in their buildings. And so just a lot of conversation around this about how to do it and who should run it. And most of the conversation was focused around those building owners wanting to find partners to do those with. So I give a couple of examples in the article that you might want to check out and a couple of images. Number two, enterprise co-working will continue to trickle into spaces focused on those with scale and network. So I said here, I continue to be surprised that it's kind of taking a long time for corporations to really embrace the flexible workspace model. There's so much discussion around recruiting the best talent and meeting the needs of all generations, really, not just millennials, but everybody wants flexibility and wants to be able to create their own balance. And a great way to do that is have a place to work that's not home and not the corporate office. But it's taking a while for that to actually happen. And one of the insights based on the conferences I've attended this year is that some of it is that the people in charge of making those decisions are struggling to you know, gauge the quality of local offerings. It's a lot of work for them to figure out, you know, where people should be working. And I think they're not quite ready to just give people a stipend and let them go pick their own places. I think we'll get there. But I think it's happening more slowly than we all thought it would be. And I think where it is succeeding is companies that are, you know, putting new teams or, you know, putting a percentage of their employees into spaces that with, you know, a high brand recognition and central billing, which frankly just makes it a lot easier on their end, right? They don't have thousands of employees submitting expense reports for shared workspace every month. They can have one bill. So generally from like a Regis or a WeWork, who can handle that central billing? And I think those two folks are really the ones with scale to be able to handle that. So there are a couple of other bigger players, Servcorp, Premier Business Centers, all have 80 plus locations around the world. So they're probably getting a share of that too. So I think if someone, you know, manages to create a network that can handle the central billing, then we'll start to see more success in that, or it'll just take longer time for people to kind of get comfortable with letting employees pick their own spaces. Okay, I wanted a little bit of detail on that one, so I'm gonna keep it high level on this next one. This is just kind of a provocative number three. The combo space will become the go-to design, especially in smaller markets. So I'm not going to give a lot of details on that, but check out the article and take a look at Covo in San Francisco. It's a new space, C-O-V-O. Their website is hellocovo.com. And it's a combo space, co-working space, public cafe, wine bar, event space, meeting rooms. Check it out. I think it's a great example of a trend that we'll start to see coming. Suburban co-working will continue to grow. I think we're going to continue to see that. And as I said at the OfficeCon conference back in November, a lot of folks there were in not dense urban locations trying to be a part of the vibrancy of what we're seeing in all workspaces today. So even suburban co-working will continue to grow. I think WeWork challengers will emerge. So they're one of the best well-known brands with scale. I think we will start seeing more of that happen. Number six, I think the average shared workspace size will continue to increase. I mentioned some stats from the Global Workspace Association's annual financial study, and the average serviced offices that have operated on footprints larger than 15,000 square feet tend to be the most profitable. And I think we'll continue to see that going forward. And we have a couple of notable examples of that that I include in the article. One of them is Enterprise 5280 in Denver. And there are a couple of other examples of that, including those some outside of the U.S. So number seven, the trend of leveraging existing businesses as co-working spaces. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the trade-offs play out in this, where we see businesses that have downtime during the day, yoga studios, restaurants, being leveraged as shared workspaces during the day. Clear upsides, there's no additional rent to pay, could be lower cost for the users. But trade-offs, you know, power in the right locations. When was the last time you were looking for power in a restaurant or even an average coffee shop and you just can't find it? No privacy for phone calls, that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think we'll see more experimentation on that in 2017. Asia scaling in terms of shared space and co-working spaces. China and India are doing a lot. And in the article, we give some examples and some stats there. Number nine, retail vendors moving into co-working. This year, we saw a couple of interesting examples. West Elm, who actually partnered with Covo, which I mentioned earlier, to do part of their space with their new workspace line, sort of that whole bringing home into the workplace. And then Yankee Candle is doing some interesting work in the space, which I'll let you read about. And number 10, the headline is, I am with Steve on being bullish on the co-working industry. And Steve is Steve King of Emergent Research. And he does a lot of writing about the gig economy and shared workspace. And he does his global co-working forecast every year. And he is super bullish on the co-working industry, shared space industry. And you can find his predictions in the article as well. But I agree with him. I think it's going to be another really big year. So with that, I will leave you. Cheers to a great year behind us and an exciting year ahead. Happy New Year.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.